Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Strategically Prophetic Radio broadcast. I am your host, Calvin Ward, and I will be bringing you some of the best spiritually motivated discussions, interviews, and debates that you have ever heard. So what I want you to do right now is sit back, tune in, invite a friend. And remember, you're listening to the Strategically Prophetic Radio broadcast, and I am your host, Calvin D. Ward. Thanks for listening. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Well, greetings to everybody that is out there listening. This is the second episode of season three of the Strategically Prophetic Radio broadcast. And I just wanted to tell everybody that is listening to the show, I'm excited to be here. I started this show maybe in 2013, I believe it was, when I was in Kentucky. And we did about a year and a half of broadcasts. And the goal of the show was to platform ministers and people who had a voice. So we had motivational speakers, life coaches, ministers, people you probably have never heard of before, but they were able to be platformed. And so we just loved talking to them and hearing what the Lord has to say. Also, we would have people call in to just ask general questions about the Bible. So I loved taking callers. And then it went into us praying for people. See, I really didn't like to really prophesy over the phone, but it just turned into what it was, because I don't like the psychic, as they say. But we just prayed for people and just did, you know, what we had to do. We just made it happen. And so I just love it. And so we're continuing on in this season. The Lord has led me to go back to doing the podcast. Now, I do have a podcast on Spreaker, and it's still called Strategically Prophetic Radio. But there's also a podcast on Spreaker called Strategic Living. So I do both of those. Strategic Living also has turned into a TV show that is national on the Now Network. You can get it on Roku as well, the Now Network, which is the gospel network that showcases ministers who have a word. And it is a national network as well. It's worldwide. So Strategic Living matches up with that. So I'm happy and I'm glad about it. So right now we're going to go in, because I put my we have an interviewer that we're going to have here for tonight. And we're just going to get into some word. So I want y'all to sit back. I want y'all to relax. I want y'all to enjoy the show on tonight. What I'm going to do is play a quick track by one of my favorite artists, Lucinda Moore. And then when we come back, I'm going to introduce our speaker for this session and get right into it. So I want y'all to be blessed and listen to Lucinda Moore. We'll be right back.
Everybody,
there's a prayer.
Well, I want to thank you for tuning in. If you are listening, you're tuned into the Strategically Prophetic Radio Broadcast. I'm your host, Calvin Ward. And on tonight, we have an interview with Elder Tyron. And so I want you to sit back and relax and listen and invite a guest out. You're listening to the Strategically Prophetic Radio Broadcast. I'm your host, Calvin Ward. Send the link out. Invite someone to tune in. And listen, we want to hear what you have to say. You can call us. Well, all right. We are back. We are back. We are back. All right. Well, let's jump right in it. Elder, are you on the line?
Amen. Praise the Lord. Prophet Calvin, how you doing?
I am good. I am good. I don't know what it is about me jacking up. It's Tyron. Did I get that right? Tyron, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I don't Tyron. Know. I want to say Tyron, Tyvon, Tyrone. I just want to say everything else but the name, so it's Tyron. So this is Elder Tyron McNeil for everybody who is listening on this evening for Friday Night Live. I'm glad to be back on the air. And Elder, I'm going to give you the microphone. Can you tell everybody a little bit about yourself on tonight?
Absolutely. You know, I was raised in Chicago, kind of cut my teeth through PAW, Pentecostal Assemblies of the World, in ministry, great organization, but studied under a couple other denominations just to kind of balance myself out, called to the ministry years ago, filled with the Holy Ghost years ago, and at that point, we need the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, in these days, we need the Holy Ghost.
Right,
if
right.
You don't have it. You need the Holy Ghost. You need to be filled, baptized with the Holy Ghost. That's the power. That is the power. That's the power that Jesus promised, that he sent to us. And so I have the Holy Ghost. That's it. And, you just need it.
Right.
You need it. There are people who don't really believe that you need to be baptized with the Holy Ghost, but we need the Holy Ghost. I just feel that emphasis right now. God said just pause and let people know. You need the Holy Ghost. You need the Holy Spirit in your life. That is our power. That's our keeper. That's our wisdom. That's our strength. That's everything. It's through the Spirit of God living within us. We are the temple of Jesus. We are the temple of the body of Christ. But been saved a while, glad about it, still excited about Jesus, still moving forward.
Very glad about it.
Wife, Janae. Amen. Glad about it, man. Glad I'm saved. I'm excited about being saved. Don't want to lose
right,
the
right.
for Christ
right.
and for the ministry. Just want to stay focused, get more focused. And this is a good time to get focused and get closer and more intimate to God. But that's my background. Operating in several gifts and callings. But, you know, just want to do whatever God calls me to do, be available to him. And not tied down to a title or anything. Have to operate within your office. But, God, wherever you need me, that's what I told him. I said, wherever you need me to do, if you need me to prophesy, if you need me to deliver, you need me to lay hands, teach, preach, whatever you need me to do, you let me know. And I want to be available for that. And it took years to actually get to that point where God had to take things out, move things out of your life through baptism of fire. You know, and
right,
that's an
right.
important part of it, too. The baptism of repentance is akin to the baptism of fire, causing you to come to a place of repenting, a place of changing your mind. And sometimes only trials push us toward that element. So I thank God for that. I thank God for my lovely wife, Prophetess Janae McNeil, powerful woman of God. Thank God for you, my brother, my friend, Prophet Calvin Ward, and all the other ministers that have contributed and imparted into my life. And just thank God for that, you know.
Amen. Well, amen. Well, big ups to Janae. Did I get her name right that time? Janae, not Gina.
Yeah.
Janae, right. Janae. So, yeah, Janae. So that's what's going on. So you touched on a couple of things, and I wanted to you know, it was almost like double dutch. I wanted to jump in, but I said, you know what, I'm just going to let him finish because we have some time here. But since you focus on the Holy Ghost, I just want to talk about that for a minute. So, and you have some years under your belt, you know, so I don't know, since I've been around, God has always kept me around people that had a few years under their belt. Even when I was, when I first came into the church, I grew up Baptist, but then came into the military and ended up in Hawaii, and I was in a non-denominational church, and the pastor came out of Kojic. So there were some people there. I always had people that were a little bit seasoned, more seasoned than I was, and it's an awesome thing. So I want to talk about that, because coming up, you know, from Baptist, non-denominational, then PAW for me, and coming up, I'm looking at the church today, and I'm looking at what the environment of the church was that produced me, so to speak. And then I'm looking at the leaders and the church and what's being preached and what's being taught today and the caliber of pastors. And I just think to myself, I shake my head. So what are any changes in your opinion? What are some changes that you've seen in the church? And I'm leading up to it because I'm going to touch on the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but that is just one of them that made me ask that question. So in your opinion, like, what are some changes down through the years that you have seen with the church, whether they be good or bad, that you think that a newer generation, a younger generation can actually learn from? Because I'm seeing a lot of millennial type leaders and pastors, and they don't have an anointing to deliver a package. They can't cast the demon out. They can, you know, they can barely, you know, impart anything. They have nothing to impart to anyone. So that tells me, I mean, I have to question how they came up. So I'm going to let you chime in on that, because the way I came up and the men and women of God that poured into me, you know, through hell or high water, I wouldn't change it for anything in the world, because I'm looking at myself in comparison to what I see. And I'm like, I thank God for the men and women that I had. So in your opinion, when you look across the church, or, you know, just talk on that for a minute. What are some things, if somebody's listening, if there's like a pastor, because we're talking here as ministers, as elders in the church, but I, you know, but some nuggets or something that you see that you could give to pastors or leaders or somebody that can glean some from this conversation, because we got a lot of young leaders and I just don't know what's going on, but I'm gonna pass you the mic on that.
Okay, well, you know, I appreciate that, but you know, my background is similar. You know, I traveled through the military. I got saved when I first joined in 1982, and I was actually going to two different services at the time. One was a Baptist service, and then I was going to a Pentecostal apostolic service. And they both had their merits and their faults, you know. But
all right, right.
The one thing that I appreciate is the foundation that the Pentecostal church put in me, the foundation of, first of all, prayer, holiness, being filled with the Holy Ghost. That's the foundation. You know, Jesus said, listen, you need to just wait here until I send you power. In other words, that you can't operate without me. You can't operate in the ministry. You can't preach. You can't teach. You can't do the things I need you to do until
you got
the power that you do it. And Jesus himself, really, he didn't begin his ministry until he was filled with the Holy Ghost, right? Right? And so we see that he was baptized by John the Baptist. Then he was filled with the Holy Ghost. And then he went out. You know, first thing, the Holy Ghost drove him to fasting. So the Pentecostal church taught me how to fast, to pray, to try to live holy. You know, we can't always live holy, but to repent, to call on God, to fast, to pray, to study your Bible. You know, my grandfather, I told him I was called to the ministry, he said, listen, read that word. Read that word. That word is life. That word is food for our soul, that word. So those three things that I think that we need to get back to those basics of fasting, praying, reading, but you have to have the Holy Ghost. New wine can't be put into old wineskin. You must be born again, and you have to have the Holy Ghost to operate in it. I'm telling you.
So what is the Holy Ghost? So So what is the Holy Ghost? I'm just going to ask you, what is, and I'm going to play devil's advocate here. What is the Holy Spirit? We have people who could be Caucasian India. We have people who could be all across the world. We've seen the videos where people jerk with the Kundalini. It looks like they got the Holy Ghost. They copy it. It looks like the same thing. What is the, if somebody was to ask you, well, what is the Holy Spirit? I've been saved. I've confessed the Lord. I go to church. I'm on the choir. I'm on the praise team. I do my thing. But what are you talking about? This Holy Ghost, what are you talking about, Elder Tyrant? I'm saved. What would you tell them? Like, what is this Holy Ghost you're talking about? Nobody told me I needed to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. What is that?
The Holy Ghost is the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of Christ. All right. It's the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of Christ. It's the Spirit that Jesus sent back. The Bible says he was full of it without measure during his ministry. And he promised him, he said, I have to go because that's the only way you're going to receive it. And when he went, was ascended to the Father, the right hand of the Father, where he says, now, interceding for us as our high priest, he sent the Holy Ghost back, the Holy Spirit. Same thing, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, to fill us, to indwell in us, as our life source, basically our power. He activates us, he motivates us, he calls us. And the Bible says he calls people to repentance. So he's operating even in those that are unsaved because it's the Spirit of God that draws us to repentance, the Bible says. But it's the Spirit of God. You have to have the Spirit of God living in you and the power of God. He brings all the gifts. He unites the body. He allows us to love, which is most important. He does it all for
right.
us and through us. It's God operating through us. Is the Holy Spirit.
Do you think that's necessary if somebody says that they have been called? Do you think that's necessary if somebody says, you know, I'm called to preach and they've been preaching, you know, they do their thing, but they have never even heard of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Do you think the baptism, well, actually, let me go back. What do you mean by baptism? And the what do you mean by baptism? I'm going to play devil's advocate here. What do you mean by baptism? And the reason I'm going to ask you that for explanation is because some people, when they have their, you know, when they get saved, they confuse regeneration, which is the Holy Spirit stepping inside them and renewing them and starting them afresh over with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So they're being told in, you know, Catholic churches, fundamentalist churches, Baptist churches, that that's the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So what do you mean baptism? You said that was the Spirit of the Lord. What do you mean by that?
Okay, yeah. Well, let's go back to the scripture a little bit and give some foundational teaching. Of course, you mentioned it. First of all, there's a justification that comes around with repentance, that we are justified by grace. And then there's a regeneration in which God, the Spirit of God, renews us. We're born again. And then there's a glorification in which we're filled with the Holy Spirit. The glory of God comes within us and empowers us to connect with God. So it's not the same. I know that people say that, but if you look in the book of Acts, the disciples of John were baptized unto repentance with John, all right, the justification. And they said, well, we never even heard of such thing as the Holy Ghost. And then he explained it to them. They were baptized in the name of Jesus, and they received the Holy Ghost. Cornelius, when Peter preached to them, they received the Holy Ghost, and then they were baptized with the water. So we look at Acts chapter 2, and they were in the upper room praying on one accord. And the Spirit came in like the sound of a mighty rushing wind and lighted upon them, and they all spoke in tongues. This all scriptural based. So there are a lot of people that do deny it, but it's scripture. It's scriptural based, all right? We are now living in the book of Acts, you know, the second half of the book of Acts.
Right.
And the Holy Ghost is still revelant. The Holy Ghost is still here. The Holy Ghost is still waiting to empower those. And I do know people who've been in the ministry a long time and say they were filled once they got saved, but there's a difference. Yeah, the Holy Ghost draws you to repentance, but he fills you once you're born again. Once you
right.
repent and are regenerated, born again, then you get filled with the Spirit of God.
And that's
it
that
brings
baptism.
Us that life. Yes.
No, go ahead. Okay, we have a – I'm going to chime in because we have somebody – we have a caller. I'm sorry to interrupt, but I'm going to just bring this caller in real quick. Hello, you are listening to Strategically Prophetic Radio.
Hello?
Can you hear us? Can you hear me? What's your name?
Yes. My name is James.
James, what is going on? How are you?
Good. How
are you doing? Okay, awesome. So we're talking about the Holy Ghost. This is Elder Tyron on the line here, but we're talking about the Holy Ghost. So that's the subject that we're talking about. Elder was explaining some things about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to ask you, so what's your take? Do you have a comment? Do you have something to say? But what's your take on the subject on tonight?
I think it's the most important, one of the most important things when it comes to power and the power in which we can live holy, please God. So it's of the utmost importance to definitely speak on this topic.
Now, before we go, I'm gonna ask you one more question. So we're talking about the Holy Spirit. In your experience, have you? Because I run into so many people that don't have the boldness. It's like they say they have the Holy Spirit, but to people that have the Holy Ghost, there's a boldness. There's a supernatural strength and power that's there. And I run into people and I don't see that, so it makes me question it. What has been your experience, James, before you go, with this COVID-19? Because we're going to transition into that as well. But what has been your experience? We're talking about the Holy Spirit, if it's a bold power. What has been your experience and observation in COVID-19 and seeing Christians and how they respond and their reactions as it concerns, you know, the believer having a relationship with the Holy Spirit and not being afraid, or we're supposed to get our strength from the Holy Ghost? What has been your experience or your observation looking at this whole Christian experience with COVID-19?
Well, there's many different ways that we can look at this. It's kind of funny. I was just talking with a pastor, actually on yesterday, a couple of pastors that were on live, and we were talking about the importance of prayer, and I was talking about how some people, depending on their occupation and what they do, definitely would be drawn to pray more than others. How does that relate to this? Well, for your typical churchgoers, I believe certainly that they should stay in the house, they should bundle up, you know, they should pray. When it comes to, and this is probably going to step on quite a few toes, when it comes to our pastors and bishops that have caught this virus and have been ill, some of them have not made it out. Some of them are, unfortunately, have passed on. And it comes down to this. When you're active in ministry, when you're active, teaching the word of God, you're a man of God, when you get to a certain a position, it shouldn't be that we turn prayer and fasting on or off. Because what I think has happened to a lot of the body of Christ is the COVID-19 caught them on vacation. It caught them on the weekend. It caught them with their hair
wrapped. Wow.
Nothing so, because
vacation.
we gotta go back to what Jesus said when the men asked Jesus, why don't the disciples fast? Now when we look at the way I want us to look at this is to look at your pastor as me and Jesus. Now, those who, of course, are connected to the pastor, which we would say would be the disciples, if the pastor is walking fully in his call, and fasting and praying, living that type of lifestyle, it ought to flow to where that power radiates around those who are around him. Now, at the same time, be it the members, it may be a different situation depending on the relationship that they have to the disciples or just say that pastor. Now, what did Jesus say? Jesus said, hey, while they're with me, you know, there's no need. You know, they're with me. But there's going to come a time where they'll have to fast and pray. Now, Jesus had already given them power. Now, at the same time, we know that power had a limitation according to their faith because of the time when they couldn't cast out that one demon that was afflicting the boy. Thus, they had to bring it to Jesus. Jesus cast the devil out, and say, hey, man, some of these things come, you know, it comes by faith. You have to have a strong measure of faith. And the thing is going to that measure of faith, that's how Luke, after giving the okay from Jesus to walk on water, he was able to walk on water. But what happened is when he saw the circumstances, it shook his faith, thus he began to sink. Now,
you said, hold up,
yeah.
You said Luke walked on water, or you meant
Peter.
Did you say Luke?
I'm sorry, Peter. I'm so sorry.
Okay, because we in the Word. We in the Word now. We don't help us all out. You know how we do it.
Yes, you're right. No, you're totally right. Yeah, Peter, it was due to him looking at the wave. He took his focus off of Jesus and looked at his circumstances, looked at the wave, and began to realize, you know, hey, I'm human. I'm not supposed to, you know, this is scary. Now, going to them trying to cast that devil out, well, because that devil fought against them, it still continued to throw that child to the ground, they got scared. So how does that relate to now? When we look at pastors who have been caught slipping, they got the virus. Some of these pastors have been boasting, hey, man, you know, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost, and we still don't have church. And not only did he get the virus, but many of the members have. So at the end of the day, you got caught slipping. You sat there and you boasted to the enemy that, hey, I got power. But at the same time, what we got to see is when the devil came and tried you, you really didn't have the power that you claim you did. Now, the thing is this. You may have had that power the week before. You may have had it maybe a couple of months before. But the thing is this. When we to live lax and we're not really about that life, and it's okay. You know, we have times where we're about that life and we're really fasting and praying, and then we have those times where we're a little slack. But this is the thing. So you have to know the power that's working in you at that moment. So if you know you ain't on your face before God and praying and really prayed up and really living a holy lifestyle before God, yeah, you probably ought to stay at home. You probably ought to, you know. But for those that really got faith. And I'm saying this, don't be casual. There, you know, you out there trying to congregate, and you in the flesh, you're not in the spirit, you're not going over there for some kingdom business. Stay at home. You know what I mean? And if you know you're not walking in power, you haven't been on your face. You know, when we are led by the Spirit, man, it's business. You know what I mean? It's business. We ain't playing. You know, we're getting prepared. We're getting up in the
right,
praying. We're staying prayed up.
Right.
And thank God for his grace, because some of us have definitely been covered. I think I've had a few little symptoms here and there, but God is covered with his grace. But what I'm saying is when we look at, you know, because the members, that's another thing. I can't judge a lot of the members. But what's highlighted is the past.
You're talking about the leadership.
You know,
you're talking about
the prophet. Yeah.
You're talking about the leadership. And so.
Yes, as a leader. Man, you can't be caught. You should not want to be caught with your pants down.
So James,
and so we have to turn it up.
And so so what I'm hearing, before I let you go and we get back in the show, you know, you're talking about leaders who, you know, almost not provoking the enemy, but you said something I think was key, that we were caught off guard. And I'm gonna pass that back to Elder Tyron as well. You said something I think is key, that we were caught off guard. But James, I want to thank you for calling in, and thank you for supporting the show, and
thank you
for calling
God
in,
bless.
And thank you for giving us a comment. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
I'm listening.
Thank you.
All right. Be blessed. So Elder Tyron, let's take that. Let's take that into. Let's take that. He said people were caught off guard, because that's what I want to transition into. We were talking about the Holy Ghost, but let's transition into that with COVID, with the COVID-19. For me, you know, when things like this happen and stuff happens in life, I say, okay, God, I have the Holy Ghost. This is the power to get through this. I'm not stupid either. Understand what I'm saying? We're wise, right? So we do what we do. But I approach the situation for Calvin. You know, I'm not going to run around here and be scared and run around here wrapped up in saran wrap, holler about something. You know, I'm not going to touch the doorknob. I got gloves on. I said, but I'm going to wash my hands. I'm going to be cognizant of where I go. I'm going to clean things. I'm going to do what I do. But I do think this is important, because you have pastors, like he was saying, some of these pastors were just saying their peace, but maybe their fasting and their prayer life was not there. They got caught off guard. But you have people who may not have that faith, but they still have critical jobs. And I think That's a big portion of this that people don't talk about. They have critical jobs. So the pastor might have to stay at home. Like Oprah can stay at home. You know, she doesn't have a critical job. But other people that have to still go to work that have a critical job, if they want that job and they want to keep that job, they got to go to work. They got to have some faith. And they don't need a man or woman of God, you know, not talking faith. So let's talk about that, because I think that's connected to the Holy Spirit too. Because a lot of people think it's you crazy saying you got the Holy Ghost, you're just not going to do nothing. No, but we're saying on the same token, we're not scared. We're not operating in the spirit of fear. So what's your take on that?
Right. Well, you know, and I think James was commenting, your comments also. Let me address a couple of things real quick. First of all, our hearts and our prayers go out to those who have lost loved ones through this virus and through this pandemic. It is a pandemic because it's worldwide. So we're praying for God's comfort, his peace on those families, and his grace upon them. And we definitely don't want to judge anybody's faith or any other person's servant, because they all belong to God. So it's not our you know, we can't judge, but we can see what's going on. There's a spirit of mockery going out. And because these things were said out in the open, Satan uses the opportunity to ridicule.
Tyron? Tyron, I think he – okay, I think Tyron got – deleted. Okay. Well, guys, we're going to continue to talk a little bit. If you want to call in, you can call in. The number to call in is 563-999-3721. Again, 563-999-3721. Call in. We are talking about COVID. You are tuned in and you are listening to the Strategically Prophetic Radio Broadcast. And I'm your host, Calvin Ward, and we were talking about the Holy Ghost. Tonight, we're interviewing Elder Tyron McNeil. And he's on the line, and we're just talking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost having power in these days, and we're connecting that with COVID-19. So I want you to sit back, and I want you to stay tuned, and we will be right back. Again, the number to call is 563-999-3721. Again, 563-999-3721. I want to play a little track here, and then we're going to get back into the show.
Simply because he is, not for the things that he's done, but because of who he is. That's why we worship him today, because he is God. We shouldn't be here today. Some of us should be dead and gone. Some of us should have AIDS. Some of us should be dying from disease. But God said, not so. He's done so much. I can't think of what to say. I just want to say, God, I thank you, because he told Moses that when Pharaoh asked,
Who am I?
He said, tell him, I am that I am sent you. Today we want to worship the I am in our lives today, simply because he is. Oh. It's a simple song and it says, because of who you are, I give you glory. Hey, because of who you are, I give you praise. Oh, because of who you are, everybody, let's sing this song to the Lord.
I will live my voice and say,
Awesome. Thank you guys for tuning in. This is Calvin, or you are tuned in to the Strategically prophetic radio broadcast. I'm your host, Calvin Ward. I want to thank you for tuning in. Please invite a friend. Welcome to our season 3, episode 2, and starting back with the show. Check us out as we have more ministers, more motivational speakers, and people that we interview. You can call in, call us, 563-999-3721. Again, 563-999-3721. Yes, Elder Tyrant, you have the floor. Are you on?
Yes.
I apologize because that. Go ahead. No. That. Go ahead. I'm gonna let you go ahead because that song took me back a minute because that I remember that exact service. That song when the praise team played that song right there, I was in the zone. We all went. We just had some church on that Sunday because they had went in. On that Sunday, on that song, because it was a rap. It was just a rap. So that whole song, that's about a 15-minute song. so I only played 8 minutes of it. I got caught up a bit, but I want to give you the floor. Talk about COVID-19. We have about 16 minutes left, but I want to give you the floor. Might have to bring you back on, but we were talking about COVID-19, and then we lost you. Go ahead.
Yeah, and you know, that's great because while during the break, the Lord began to speak to me a little bit, you know, and so I'm just going to put out what he was saying. We cannot walk in fear. That doesn't mean we walk in pride, arrogance, or presumptuous faith, and that we say, I'm going to do this and God's going to protect me. That's tempting God. We wash our hands. We practice good social distancing.
Right.
All things that are recognized by the CDC, even as ministers of God. Now, one thing I don't agree with, I believe that pastors should also be considered critical positions, all right? And we thank God for all
there you go. That is good. That is good.
We thank God for all of them. But let me tell you something. I'm saying this by the Spirit of God. There will come a day when people go want pastors with power and men of anointing to be around to pray for them. That's going to happen, all
right? Right.
We are in a spiritual war. But the problem is, the pastors have not been prepared like they should, like Brother said, preparing for this, preparing. You know, those of us who could see saw something coming, but we, you know, I couldn't tell exactly, but I knew something was coming. You got to stay ready. We're both military men. We retired from the Army, but there's a philosophy in the military that I always got to look for somebody to take my place. So I'm always training up my team leaders to be squad leaders, training my squad leaders to be platoon sergeants. And I was the first sergeant. I'm training my platoon sergeants to take my spot. Any one of them should be able to step in and take my position so that everything continues to go on. All right? There's going to be a new normal. All right? And this is what the Lord told me. When you got 5,000 members, how can you pastor 5,000 members? All right? How are you pastoring them now? Now that this thing has separated us from these buildings. And so we know that a lot of the pastors, it was more about the tithe and building the church and the pride of I got 5,000 members and I got this beautiful essence, then building the people, building ministers. But, you know, what could have happened, this could have been a fine opportunity to start a bunch of small home groups of less than 10 people.
You know what? And see,
okay?
I said the same
you got
exact
300
thing.
Members. You got 300 members in your church. That could have been 30 home groups, you know, because there was no law against it. So you would within the law, within the confines of the recommendation, 10, you know, 30 small home groups, 300 people, train these minister each one to take the helm and teach them from home to pray, filled with the Holy Ghost. The same Holy Ghost operates in that church building, operates here in my prayer closet. So, you know, there will be a new normal. Some of these churches will not recover from this. There'll be some that will fold after this. There'll be quite a few. There'll be a lot of Christians who will stay home after this. They've gotten comfortable over the last month or two, staying at home and letting, you know, TV pastors pastor them. That'll be their new normal. But this would be a prime and perfect opportunity for pastors to really pastor, to follow up with your members, to pray with them, to go visit them, to read,
exactly.
you know, and do those things.
Exactly. And, you know, you said something that was powerful, because it's just, I mean, everything that you were saying is the same mindset for me. But you said something that is exactly what I am thinking. And I said that to someone in a conversation, was that ministers and pastors should be a critical job. If I'm a pastor and I got a mega ministry and we got people on the payroll, oh, you're not sitting at home. We need to go out here and make sure, like you just said, break them down into groups. Why couldn't you have small cell groups? Why couldn't you use that as an opportunity to do home groups?
Yeah.
And then after this thing is over with, you might have two or three new churches that you're planting in the area. Use it for an example of multiplying. You know, because that was the first thing when you said that was the first thing that popped in my head. And I don't know if it's an apostolic thing, but that's the book of Acts. They had church in
that's
home.
The book of Acts, and that's
you know?
The Holy Spirit. So what God is doing is forcing us to do what we should have been doing all along. We don't need a congregation of 10,000 people. We don't need a congregation of 10,000 people. We need smaller groups that are more effective groups who are able to read and study more intimate with God and intimate with each other. You know, that's what we need. You know, the Holy Ghost gives us wisdom. The Holy Ghost gives us love. He doesn't just have us speaking in tongues and jumping and shouting. He gives us wisdom. He gives us love. He gives us prophecy. He lets us see what's going on. He lets us hear what's going on in the spirit. And we recognize that, yes, this is a spiritual attack, but we're ready for it. Those of us who saw it coming,
it didn't shock.
It
wasn't even a – exactly. Exactly. And see,
those of us who were not, they were. So, but this is a new normal. This is an opportunity for pastors – to pastor. This is an opportunity for you to let your minister start a small home group. This is an opportunity for you to visit and make sure that everything's going well. You know, this is an opportunity for apostles, people call themselves apostles, to truly be apostles in government. You know, this is an opportunity for to hear the voice of the Lord, because he's separating you from everybody else, giving you an opportunity to hear his voice. This is that opportunity. This is the opportunity for those who say they have healing power to heal. This is the opportunity for teachers to teach. This is the opportunity right now for God to shine in the lives of his people. This is the time when the world is getting darker, the church should be shining bright, not ridiculed and mocked.
Exactly.
You know,
we should be
this
shining.
This is the opportunity for us to show who we are. We are children of the Most High, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he's still on the throne. So, you know, not to be foolish, not to walk in tempting God, but to walk in the power of God continually. You know, this is our opportunity. This is our opportunity to love one another.
Right. And you said something that was so powerful. This is our opportunity.
I'm not walking in fear. You know,
yes.
I'm not walking in fear, walking in faith, but I'm not walking in foolishness either. So
exactly.
I'm not going to
tip God.
So this is
that's
good. This is an opportunity for the light of God to shine through us like never before. You know,
that's good right there. No, that was good. You said, look, we're going to walk in faith, not foolishness. Now that can shout, or it can shout on that one right there, because I think that just so eloquently sums it up, that we're walking in faith, not foolishness. Yeah, we're going to walk around here, but when this happened, I said, okay, God, if I get it, I get it. If I don't, I don't. If I get in and have complications, make peace with your maker and keep it moving. We are Christians. We are supposed to be ready for this. When this thing hit, it didn't knock me off my feet. I was like, okay, I said, you want to take me? Not a fact. You know what I did? I got green juice. I got elderberry juice. I did a video on Facebook on how to eat well and the nutrients. Because guess what? If I get it want me, come get it. It's going to take me out.
Yeah.
It's going to take me out. It ain't going to just roll up in my face. You ain't going
to
just roll up anyhow because I'm getting sick. No.
To lose some weight to get healthy.
Look.
This is the opportunity to do that. Come on, brother. You said something right there. Take care of your temple. Take care of your body.
And train it.
And our bodies are designed to resist. There are people who have been exposed to this who didn't come down with any symptoms, and that's been proven because they've been tested and have antibodies. You know, and our bodies are the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Holy Ghost. We take care of these temples. You know, we treat them a little better. We expand our lungs. We get a little exercise. We walk. We get fresh air. And that's important. It's more important to read, to pray, to stay in the presence of God. You know, and if it's my time to go, he told Moses, hey, it's my time.
You can't
time
do
to
nothing
go.
About
I'm
that. You can't. You can't do nothing right. about that. To live is Christ, to die is gain. And so this is why I was saying a lot of people really don't believe what it is that they say they believe, you know, and that's why it goes back to what are pastors doing as shepherds. Again, we understand that people are going to get this. If people have died, you know, we're praying, but it goes back to what needed to be said even before this. Pastors and leaders, what are we teaching the people? When I got saved, and let me ask you this. If you have a child, because I have pastors and people that say, oh, I don't name names, I don't bust this person out. I said, okay, I'm going to put it like this. You mean to tell me if you have a child and you know that your best friend you grew up with, they have a son that's a drug dealer, and you know the street corners that they work. You mean to tell me you're not going to tell your child stay away from someone, so-and-so. You're not going to name them by name. You're not going to tell them to stay away from them. You're not going to tell them to stay away from these corners. Yes, you are. You're going to tell them to stay away from this drug dealer. This is his name, and these are the corners that they work. So when I was a babe, I got taught by pastors who would tell me, and they said, that's not the Lord. No, that's false doctrine. No, read your Bible built up in the Word. And so the Word will sustain
yes.
you when things come, because this didn't knock me off my feet. I just took a pause. I said, okay, let me assess the situation. And I said, this is how we're going to do it, because if it's going to come get me, well, then come on with it. But if it's that bad, and, you know, and then here's my thing, and you can say something to this too. I said, I've seen people who are military, they're older than me, and they got just really shaken and flustered by this. I said, I got shot at, survived bombs, survived airplanes, survive all kind
right.
of foolishness, other sicknesses, guns pointed at me, and you mean to tell me right now I'm gonna be scared of a virus?
Listen, we get us with this. There was also a spirit of a fear that was released in the land, and we know
mm-hmm.
that's one of the signs of the last day. Men's hearts shall fail them for fear. So we know that there's a spirit of fear that's released during the last day. That's one of the signs. False prophets. That's another sign. That we become.
Oh my gosh, and it's
not
Lord
yet.
Have mercy.
This is just the beginning of sorrows. Yes, this is the beginning of sorrows. But we've been here before. You know, this is not the first pandemic that Americans experienced or the world has experienced. We've been through these cycles. We've been through death, World War I, World War II, you know, where millions of people have died, Civil War. So we've been through this before when we've experienced
right.
high
right.
numerous numbers of death and pandemics and stuff. We're going to get through this too. And each
it's
time
come.
That was an opportunity for the church to shine, the church to do what it's supposed to do, should have been doing all along, is letting the Lord preaching the gospel, the true gospel, preaching the whole
right.
gospel, which includes that you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost, you need to be baptized in the name of Jesus. And folks still fighting that. I don't know why, but we just preach the word. You
because
know,
because you know it don't feel seen.
Did.
It don't feel feet. It doesn't. It doesn't get payment.
It
doesn't.
Feet,
it doesn't get money, right? And so I think that's a transition.
Yeah.
That's why the elders of the church, the people who have gotten the doctrine of the apostles' doctrine, you know, to really promote that and really teach that. I see so much false doctrine out here, and I think that's something that we need to talk about too. But I see so much false doctrine that is just flapping out here. And so when you, and especially right now, I want to say this, and I'm gonna let you talk on that too, because the false this is a season where a lot of false voices are coming out, but this is also the time that the real voices need to come out to sustain. Because like they were saying when they were in Babylon, what the Bible says, when the children of Israel were in Babylon, they didn't have a song to sing, and they hung their harps on the willow tree because they didn't have a song to sing. But
right.
that was the time that the prophets and the teachers came to build up and teach them the word. And so when I was reading
yes.
that today, what you see in there is when they say that the Lord strengthened me and the Lord answers prayers, it's not saying that the Lord
yes.
snatched them out of exile immediately. It's saying that when they pray in their despair, something happened in their spirit and their soul, and it was God. God answered their prayers, and they were strengthened, they were quickened, and they were able to continue
yes.
on. But this thing right here, and I'll let you speak on this. I was thinking about this today with the Passover, and I never thought about it like that. But the angel of death, or the spirit that came that killed the Passover,
yeah.
the Israelites got saved. So
yes.
the death that came into the city was never for the people of God. The death
was
for
the
Egyptians.
For the people of God.
It was for the
Egyptians.
Egyptians.
In fact, what? In fact, the 10 plagues that attacked Egypt were in direct assault from God to the God of Egypt to protect him against the darkness, the pestilence, the lights, the death, and all these things. And God let him know, listen, your God can't protect you from anything. Secondly, in the land of Goshen, where the Israelites were, none of these things happened. The water didn't turn red, but they still had pure water. The lice, the cattle didn't die. The hell, none of these things happened. And the firstborn was passed over because of the blood of Jesus, which was symbolic of the blood of Jesus. Those of us who have the blood of Jesus, yeah, we're not worried about it. And secondly, just addressing what you talked about when the children of Israel were in Babylon, the Bible says God told them, listen, you're going to go to Babylon, but you might as well just build houses, marry, prosper while you're there. You know, and so he let them know that even though you're in this land of bondage and confinement, I'm allow you to be blessed in the midst of it.
Right.
The story is really evident and exemplified in the book of Daniel. You know, Daniel was really ran Babylon as a Hebrew slave. So he said, I want you to prosper right in the midst of this. Yes, I put you in here for a reason because you were worshiping idols. Now I'm still going to bless you in the midst. But after they got out of Babylon, they never worshiped an idol again. Some of us just need a Babylon experience. So we stop working
now,
with titles of this tithes money and
see,
these other things.
Look,
you know,
look.
Doctrine. We just need a Babylon experience. And which God allows us to go through and let you know, listen, you need me. I don't need you. He never told us to build these big temples. He never told us that. In fact, he never told Solomon, read it, to build the temple. He allowed him to build the temple. He said, I don't need it. And it was destroyed twice. All right? What God is saying is the temple he wants to build is the people. He never built the church for one man to be at the helm only and nobody else operating in the church. You're the pastor, but you don't allow the prophetic and apostolic anointing to operate in the church. So, okay, yeah, nothing against you, but you've been taught falsely. All fathers have to operate in the church.
Now, let's talk about that. Now, we're going to take a little tiny break here, and then we'll finish that up. You've been listening to the Strategically Prophetic Radio broadcast, where I am your host, Calvin D. Ward. Listen, I want to thank you for tuning in. Listen, find me on Facebook at Prophet Calvin D. Ward. Go to the YouTube channel, and don't forget to go to Amazon.com to buy my new book, Metaphysics and Theology, A Discussion. Y'all, don't forget to invite someone to the next broadcast. Thank you for tuning in, and until next time. Yes. Tyron, are you there?
I'm still here, bro.
You're there. Okay. I just wanted to, people that are still listening, if they play the broadcast, you're still listening, that was the show. So we're a little bit, I did a lot of those. So Tyron, you have a few minutes to expound and continue to go on. And we can go for maybe eight. I have time here, but I wanted to give you time to finish your thought because you was in the mode. So we can go for another 30 minutes because I really want that. I just felt the spirit of the conversation. And so that's why I do the programs like this, because I can end them, but I can still go over a little bit. And so we can still go over and record, and people will play the show back. They'll get the people that were live get an hour, but when people go back and play the show back after the fact, they'll get the hour plus everything else that was going on. But we were talking about the Passover because I think that's powerful, because I never saw that until I think I don't know if I was talking to you or if I was talking to someone else. But when you think about that Passover, that judgment was not even for that judgment was for the Egyptians. And it was a sign that actually, one of the signs that actually kind of instigated or catalyzed the Egyptians when the Israelites left, they left with the wealth of the Egyptians. But continue what you were saying before we ended the live.
You know, and that's absolutely true. And so whatever state we're in, God is going to bless us. We have to walk by faith and not by sight. All right? He allowed them to be pulled out of Egypt through a deliverer, Moses. Our deliverer now is Jesus Christ, all right? And he is our Passover lamb. He is, and we believe that, the good news of the gospel, where it was originally taught, preached by the apostles. He was prophesied that the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ. And we just have to operate in our churches. I really believe that we got to get back to that basis and where we're allowing the fivefold to operate within our churches. All right. I believe that. And some will, some won't. They'll continue status quo, and then we'll go through this again. But there's nothing that happens in the earth realm without God revealing it to a prophet. All right. That's what the
right.
word says.
But see, but you hit on that. You hit on something, and I did a small broadcast. I do the little Facebook lives because it's one of the things, I mean, you were so on it when this first happened. At the beginning of the year, the Lord told me just to put the word out. But when this first happened, I said, as a prophet, I just need to put, you know, Facebook videos out, just getting into the word.
Right.
And hopefully somebody can hear it and it will increase their faith. Somebody's going to hear it. And
yes.
And I do have people, you know, every time I put a video out, I have a small, you know, it's a couple of people, but people that watch that video, whether they're shut in or something, you
yes.
know, you have people to say, you know, I really enjoyed your video. I had somebody message me the other day, said, I can't see your videos. I had another brother message me from Chicago. Was like, dude, I'm watching all of your videos today. You never know who is watching your ministry. So it is
right.
so key for you to do what you do and do it at 100% of the level because it's
yes.
still the anointing, right? And it's still going out there.
It's
but
the anointing.
You mentioned, yeah, it's the anointing. And it's, and then go back to the Holy Ghost, right? And people need that. So when we're talking about this COVID-19, it's one of the things that you said, for me as a minister, I felt we were a critical job. So I said, I need to put as much video and word out as I possibly, as I possibly can. You know, that's why I did a YouTube channel. I took all the videos that I could muster, that I had and could remember with the word and put them on a YouTube channel. I do a Facebook Live, and then that was one of the reasons I started this back, was to have word out there for the saints to be able to grab a hold of. Because that's what the leaders do. I think we are a critical position, you know. And so that's
we
one of the reasons
position.
Why I didn't agree with these pastors just saying, everybody stay at home. Well, okay, if you're going to stay at home, I got that. But if you're a pastor, you're a shepherd, you can't be a real – listen,
yes.
you can't be a shepherd and
listen,
not go out
the hospitals
there.
Right, you cannot be. The hospitals are for sick folks, physically sick. The church is for sick folks, spiritually sick.
Right.
All right, and so a lot of the physical ailments are actually a result of your spiritual ailments or mental and spiritual sickness within the individual. So we need the ministry to still operate. Now, okay, we can't have a congregation of 30. Go visit. If you got to wear a mask. You take hand sanitizer with you, but visit your congregation. Pray with them. Read with them. Minister them. Do what pastors are supposed to do. You know, and a lot
you
of
know,
guys
they can do it on Zoom.
In the midst of them.
And listen, here's the thing.
Go
you got
Zoom. They can do all kinds of things you can do and not just give up. Train some other ministers to go out if you can't go out, you know, which is
right.
what we should have been doing anyway, is what I'm saying.
Well,
so
that's what
it's gonna be
well, that's the issue. It's going to be a new order. And one of the topics I wanted to transition into before we close this out, it's 8:05, but we got a few minutes. But I wanted to just talk a little bit because today I posted a video. I am really up to here with these false prophets. I'm really up to here with
yes.
these false prophets. I don't look at videos, Elder Tyron. The information that I speak on a lot of the time comes to me. Somebody sends me a video. There was a book called Church Mafia. I don't know if I told you about that. I was up at 4:00 in the morning, and I,
mm-hmm.
you know, people post up to your Facebook, and I don't let people just post up to my Facebook page. So I was going through the posts. And one of the posts, somebody posted a video of this pastor who was saying that he was in Africa and he was doing everything he could do coming out of seminary to grow up the church, and the church was not growing. So he was looking at these so-called prophets and leaders who had hundreds and thousands at their churches, and he said, well, what do you do? And he said when he went to one of the prophets told him to follow him and took him to a sorcerer or a witch doctor in Africa who was very powerful, and this is where these pastors were getting their powers from, to bring people into
Jesus.
The church and putting spell on the anointing oil. They were saying that the oils and the water and these things that people sell, he said, you think they're olive oil, but they're animal fat, and they just add oils that smell good to them, and they send it out. If you look over in Africa, now they got people eating grass. These people go to witch doctors, and they use that power to put spells on these people to give their money. And then he was talking about how they calculated some of these miracles, how they hired people to do it. There was another pastor I name names, but anyway, there was another pastor locally. There was a, not locally here, but there was a young lady, not locally here. I'm sorry I said that, but there was a young lady who was being interviewed, and she said she went to a ministry with an Apostle Maldonado. She said it was her job to put gold dust in the vents so that it could come through the vent at certain times in the service. So this is the type of stuff that comes across my desk. I don't look for, but it's confirmatory. And now with the new apostolic reformation, everybody's a prophet. They can't tell the difference. The thing that alarms me, Tyron, is this. I saw a video. There's a prophetess. Her name is Cindy Jacobs. But she was laying hands on this brother. And let's talk about, I just want to talk about demonic possession and the Holy Ghost and things that you're supposed to be able to do. This brother was clearly manifesting a demon, but everybody around thought it was the anointing.
Yeah, you have to. You know, God gives us discernment too. The Holy Ghost gives us discernment to recognize what's what. And yeah, sometimes in the natural eye, you can't tell the difference. But your spiritual eye, you should be able to recognize what's actually the Spirit of God, what's being taught. Now, one way to recognize truth and to recognize counterfeit is to know what a real dollar bill looks like or a real $100 bill looks like. If you never held a real $100 bill, you would never know if it was counterfeit or not. All right, so what we as Christians, as ministers, you talk about the prophetic and the apostolic, we also need to have the true pastoral anointing and the true teaching anointing in the church to teach the word of God. So we recognize error. The prophecy does not go against the word of God, never. It will never go against the word of God because the Bible says these three are one. All right, the word, the spirit, and the Father, they're one. It would never go against it. There would never be a disconnect between the spirit of prophecy and the word. The testimony of Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. So that's impossible for it to happen. So that's the first sign. Secondly, in the last days, it said there will be false prophets. So we know that's a sign of the last day. There's going to be plenty. And the counteract that is true prophets have to come out and speak the word of God. Teachers have to teach the word of God. Pastors have to pastor their sheep so they recognize what God looks like in them. They exemplify Jesus Christ. Apostles set order and you know, do what they do as apostles and govern. And then evangelists preach the gospel, you know, and bring souls in to be saved. You know, all have to operate for the church to be healthy. They really do. All five have to operate.
And that's
to be
something
healthy, to grow.
And we got so many counterfeits. It is, you know, I look at all the comments. And I look at all the comments, and then I'm going to ask you for some closing comments. I look at all the comments that some of these prophets and people are making, and I'm like, okay, well, where were your comments, before all this, you know, popped off? I don't know if I told you this story, but in 2019, the last quarter, I was planning to go to China 2020 with the business, and I wanted to go to China with the business. But all of a sudden, out of the blue, maybe, and this was around August, September, I was like, you know what, I'm not going. I said, because this is the country that kills pastors, imprisons Christians, burns churches, communistic, doesn't like the United States, has stole intellectual property. I said, I don't know if I'm going to – I said, I'm not going to this country. I said, I could end up getting kidnapped, lost, and gone. I said, I don't have time for that. So I said, I'm not going. Everybody was like, oh, you should just go, blah, blah, blah. So I was telling people who were Christians. I said, how can you call yourself a Christian and go visit a country for leisure that kills Christians and puts them in prison for no reason just because they're Christian? I said, how can you do that? And so I said, I'm not going. And so when this happened at the beginning of the year, I was like, oh. I said, God, the first thing that came to me was judgment, and then everything else started pouring in. But to hear these little prophecies with people saying God's going to get us through, and God said, be okay, he's going to steer us through, and God said, I'm like, y'all, I can read my Bible and know God loves me. That's like a prophet walking up to you at this point in the game, homicide, Jesus says he loves you. And you're looking at them like, okay, I've been saved for 20-plus years.
Yeah, John 3:16 says that.
Exactly. You'd be like, I think I know that. Like, really? So let's close up. I'm going to give you the floor for some closing comments. First of all, I want to thank you for, coming on. And know that, too, when we do the shows, it's on for an hour. I really get 2 hours for the whole space, but we record for an hour, and then we can go over. And it's a kind of a little treat for people, too, because they can go and play the show and get a little extra. But we hit up on the Holy Ghost. We was talking a little bit about COVID-19 as well. Probably talked a little bit about faith. And then you talked a bit about the fivefold ministry and the necessity. I think these are some times with the fivefold ministry. We really need the fivefold ministry. We don't need copycats. We need people who are going to submit to it, you know, with all of this time. You know, one of the things is, too, that I would say this, and then I'm going to pass you this mic. I would say this. Two things that I think we need to do as saints, they need to invest. This is the time to invest your money, number one. Number two, the saints need to rethink. We have to rethink how we're training our children for jobs of the future, and we need to do it immediately and now, because people, as well as the saints, because they need to look for jobs they can have and work on the internet and work from home to be prepared for things like this. A lot of people lost their jobs.
Yeah, a lot of people lost their jobs, and this is, you know, and this could happen again. In fact, it will happen again. We know that this is going to happen again, that this is, you know, I'm not one of the conspiracy theorists, but this was a man-made. It was released intentionally, and this is going to happen again. This was purposeful. Our economy, everything was affected by this. So we do have to rethink how we do things, how we live in America. Secondly, we have to rethink who we partner with. There are a lot of people who I don't agree with us partnering with China because of that reason, just because they do persecute Christians and they're really anti-American. But we partner with them and we allow them to sell us all our goods, and so that if they stop, we are crippled. Our economy is crippled. So we have to rethink how we do things as a nation and not allow our greed, and even pastors, not allow greed to dictate how we minister and how we live our lives and how we govern in society. So we should pray for our leaders. Pray that they get saved. Pray for our secular leaders from the White House down to every state house, every congressman, every senate, every city hall. Let's pray for our leaders. Pray for our churches that God allows them to repent, our pastors, that they would open up and allow the fivefold to come in, because we've been under this dictate of pastoral bishops who don't recognize the rest of the body that God has given as gifts to bless the church, to edify the church.
So they
want to
be like the Catholic.
They want to be like, they set it up like the Catholic did with the priest. We're no longer under those priests. We're under one high priest, which is Jesus Christ, who was after the order of Melchizedek. And he sent the fivefold. He gave them, led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. The apostles, the prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the work of the ministry. And when you just really handicap the church with just a pastor who's not really teaching anymore the word of God, he's, you know, tickling ears, then you're handicapping the body of Christ. We're not growing, so we have to allow that to happen. So we should pray for that. That should be our assignment, is to pray that God reveals these men and women of God and bring them to repentance and allow the church to be rebuilt as he wanted to be rebuilt. If it was built on a strong foundation initially, it would have never failed. So we got to go back and rebuild this foundation.
You need the prophet. You need people who are apostolic and prophetic. You need people who are prophetic to be able to do that. You need elders of the church. You need the elders. See, the New Testament church. And this can preach. See, and you know, and they talk about apostolic, but according to the New Testament, after the apostle, the second office they instituted was the deacon.
Right.
Because they said, let us get seven men, and the qualifications for the deacon were high. Seven men full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. And Stephen was one of those men that were chosen, which is where the church takes their diaconate ministry from. But Stephen was one of the men that were chosen. But these men were apostolic. They represented the apostles. Now we call a deacon somebody that just sit down, they're a trustee or whatever. No. It's like a lot of the definitions of things have to be changed. And coming up out of this,
and all the rest of them preach the gospel. So, you know, and it's scripture. So we can't go against scripture. Why are we fighting against scripture?
Hold up. You mean they didn't teach? Hold up. You said the gospel. So you mean they didn't teach, you know, prophetic activation classes, or they didn't give you a series on how you can become an apostle, or they didn't give you a link to a class where you can come on over here and we'll show you how to work miracles and increase your faith 10 times greater. You know, they
all you need is the word of God and the Holy Ghost. And you got to, of course, we as a body, we feed one another. That which every joint supplies, we edify ourselves in love. That's what the scripture says. So you have to have the body functioning. You know, anyone with the Holy Ghost can actually teach what God is saying, can hear what God is saying. But you need the office of a prophet. You can't build a house without an architect, okay? The prophets are the architects. They see it before it happens. They see it, a building. Mm-hmm. They see the building. They're able to design it and tell you how to build the building before it happens. So that's what the prophets are. In the spiritual realm, the church realm, they are the architects. You know, they have the vision in their head of what they want this to turn out. But if you throw away your blueprint, then you're going to build what God didn't want. You know, you have a bunch of pieces out of place, and it won't function, it won't stand. So you need the prophets to work, and you need the evangelists to recruit those people and bring them in the body that's missing. You know, the body's missing the arm. The evangelists go get that arm and reattach it, you know, to the body. It has to all operate.
And it's funny how you say reattach. When you say reattach, and then we'll close up. When you say reattach, you know that reminded me of cancer. When you know what a free radical in the body is, if from my understanding, if I remember this correctly, a free radical is a cell that does not have all of the electrons in its outer shell, in its electron shell.
Yes.
It's missing an electron. So in order for that cell to become whole, it has to snatch another electron from a whole cell. It has to find a cell that's whole, that's operating properly, and that cell may have a purpose to maintain. That cell might have a purpose to take care of your pancreas. But because these free radicals are not whole themselves, they get over and they snatch another electron from another cell that has purpose to make themselves whole. And in the process, they're causing disarray in the body, and they call that cancer because these free radicals are snatching legs, arms. I look at it as the body. You got people that run around snatching parts off, but the fivefold ministry is able to heal. The apostle and prophet have a very specific job. You know what I'm saying? And they have a very specific job, but and everybody does. I tell you, in these days, the word the elderships. See, you can't. It's hard to find some true elders because a true elder, should be able to go into. You should be able to walk into any church, and if they're preaching doctrine and they preach in the Word of God and they're teaching, be able to plug right in. But if they're not, be able to rebuke and say, you know, and teach and rebuke and refute false doctrine. It's the same stuff. These are things that are letting me know what we're really dealing with, and it's times like these where I think the real is revealed because the fake just comes to the front.
Yeah, and it comes up to be revealed, and we just have to do it. We just have to follow what the word says. I mean, let's live this life. Let's pray. I know you want to close, but
pray us out. I was just thinking about that. Yeah, I was about to say, yeah, you can pray us out.
Yeah. Dear Father, Lord, we thank you. We come to you in the name of Jesus, God, to give you praise, honor, and glory. Thank you for this opportunity, Lord God, to minister to your people, God, to fellowship with my brother, Prophet War of God. And Lord God, just to hear your voice again, we thank you, Father, and we praise you. And Lord, we ask that you would continue to bless your body, Lord God, to heal your body, to put everything in purpose, in place,
yes,
God, in position, Father,
yes,
in
Father.
The name of Jesus, with your
the
power,
name of
Lord
Jesus.
God, of the Holy
thank
Ghost.
You, God.
Heal those that need to be healed.
Thank you, God.
Heal those that need to be healed. Deliver
in the name
those
of
that
Jesus.
Need to be delivered, God. Save those that need to be saved,
thank
God.
You, Father.
Set things in order, not only in our
thank
church,
you,
in our homes, but in our country, God. From the
thank
White
you,
House
Father.
Now, save
the
our
name
country,
of
Lord God. Save our senators and congressmen. Save, Lord God, all those pastors, God. Save right now in the name of Jesus, Lord God. We pray for salvation. We pray for the body. We intercede for the church for healing. Rebuke false prophecy, false doctrine, false teaching.
Thank you, God. Thank you,
and
Father.
And we rebuke this virus. In the name of Jesus,
in the name
we
of
command
Jesus.
It not to go any further. In the name and authority of Jesus Christ,
in the name of
we
Jesus.
Command bad biological to die right now by the power and authority and anointing of the Lord Jesus. And Lord, speak healing. And Lord, now you want us to create a new normal, God. Set the church up in the body as you see fit, not as we see fit, Lord God. Cause us all to come to our knees, Lord God, and to say, how do you want us to do it, Father? To humble
thank
ourselves
you,
before you and allow your
thank
spirit
you,
to teach us through your men and women of God, Lord God. In Jesus' holy name, we pray and we thank
name.
You, Father. Special
Amen.
Blessing on Prophet
thank
Ward,
Father.
God, that you continue
the
to
name
speak
of
to
Jesus.
Him. God, pour into him even more, God. In Jesus' name, draw him closer to you,
Jesus'
God.
Name, Father. In the name of Jesus.
You, bless his ministry
name
and
of
all
Jesus.
Those, Lord God, who support him. In the name and authority
you,
of Jesus Christ, we pray and we thank
Amen.
You, God.
Thank you,
Jesus
God.
Name.
Thank you, God.
Amen.
Jesus' name. Amen. Well, amen. Well, thank you for tuning in. And with that, I will bow out. I'll send you a message. Be blessed.
Be blessed.
Oh.